at night. Many a moon coming shining.
Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by 52 Martinis, a guide to the best cocktail bars in Paris. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'll take you virtually cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other boozy news from France and beyond. Today I'm talking about my recent Rumfest experience. For those of you who don't know, Rumfest is a huge salon that showcases brands from all over the world, and this year was their fourth Rumfest here in Paris. This year I took the occasion to try some more unusual rums from places where you might not expect to find them. I talked to Dale Sklar, who's exporting his Mexican rum, Kiyomi Inako, who works with the Laotian rum brand Laodi, Michael Landart, the man behind the Maria Loca bar, as well as his own spiced rum brand, and Thibaut Spadakis of the Chaolong Bay rum brand, which is made in Thailand. You'll also hear a few other cameos from familiar faces in the Paris booze and bar scene, like one of the first people who I ran across on this visit, which was Sullivan Doe, bartender from Le Syndicat and La Commune, who, like me this time around, was looking for some more unusual rums.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastically well.
Yeah? Are you enjoying Rumfest this year?
As always, amazing. And actually, I have a question for you. Where can I find the Thailandese rum, Isan? Because I heard many things about it.
The Chaolong Bay? Or is there another one?
Isan.
Oh, I'm going to go try that one too. I'll see you there in a second.
I met the guy yesterday at La Commune.
Yeah?
And apparently, there's a 100% agricole rum.
Okay.
With from the sugar, the cane.
Right.
Until the bottle.
Yeah.
Everything is made in his...
Have you tried the other, the Chaolong Bay, which is right next to it? That's also a Thailand rum.
No, I'm about to go there.
Go there. We're going to go to the Chaolong Bay, which we've done before. We actually went to their distillery in Thailand. But that's good. I'm glad. I was just asking Cyril, where are some other rums from unusual places? So that's perfect.
If there is one thing to try that I was really surprised, is at the Long Tô.
Yeah.
They have the rum called Genesis.
Yeah.
It's a rum from the 2015, and it's completely high, straight from the barrel, 73.51 ABV.
They got some strong stuff going on over there, I noticed.
It's the feeling like you just put one drop in your mouth and sparkle in your tongue. It's really, really good.
All right, we'll give it a try.
One to try.
Okay, thanks. See you later.
So Mexico might not be the first place you think of when you think of rum, but it's definitely a place that Dale Sklar thinks of when he thinks of rum. Dale Sklar works for Wine and Spirit International, and he's been making rum as well as other spirits in Mexico for some time. So we had a little chat with him to see what he had to say about the business.
Dale, can you tell me a little bit about, introduce yourself, tell me about who you are and your product.
Okay, so my name's Dale Sklar. My great-grandparents started off in the liquor business in what was then Imperial Russia, now it's called Belarus. And I'm the fifth generation Sklar in the liquor business. My daughter's joined me, she's now sixth generation and very proud of it. I tried to get her to do something responsible, but she insisted on coming into the family liquor business.
It's hard to resist that siren's call.
It's an interesting story how we started with the name of this product. Many years ago, when I was about 18, 20, I went to Jalisco and I got taken to quite a number of distilleries. And one of them was marketing a product called Tequila Los Valientes, the Alvarez brothers. It was reputed that they were over fond of the women and the tequila, and probably true because a number of years later the business ended and I got the opportunity to acquire the brand name Los Valientes, the Valiant Ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it all began, as a tequila. Then decided that I wanted to create a great Mexican rum brand. There are a number of on the market, very few, because as you know, when you talk to consumers, as soon as you mention Mexico, they immediately jump to, tequila.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe
mezcal
as well.
Yeah.
But it's tequila is the number. So it's actually quite a tough sell. as soon as you say rum, well, that's very interesting. Where's it from? Mexico. Ah, tequila. And you've got to kind of unwind it. In fact, we were distributed for a number of years in the UK by Bibendum, one of the biggest liquor people in the UK. And they often said it's the rum that everybody loves until they find out where it's from. And then they've got to get their heads around the idea that it's not Jamaica or Antigua or Trinidad. And you say, well, it actually comes from the Caribbean coast of Mexico, from Veracruz. And they say, yeah, but Mexico's tequila. And it's a tough one to get over. Saying that, unquestionably, when people taste it, many people fall in love with it because it's a fairly unusual, uncharacteristic rum. And what makes it unusual and uncharacteristic is our lack of emphasis on the wood. We've specifically gone for 10, 15, 20-year-old rather than 3 and 5 and 7-year-old, which is a third of the price. But we wanted something which was very smooth and delicate, almost ethereal. So we've stayed away from young wood. And that's the story. The story is it's made in, I suppose, 3.5, 4 metre high barrels, oak barrels, but they're over 100 years old. So you're not getting that strong influence of the wood, which you get in young oak.
Right.
You're getting the ageing process, you're getting the softening over the years, but you're not getting the heavy wood influence. That's been our intention. Some people almost challenge us on, is it really that age, because we're not tasting the wood, and that's the reason why.
What was it that drew you to going for a rum as opposed to a tequila?
To answer that truthfully, I've gone for both.
Well, good to know. We're just here at Rum Fest, but so in addition to
we're also terribly proud of our tequilas, which in fact Blooming Gems also handle. We're a very small company. We've been going since 1984, but we've never lost sight of the fact that we do not want to go head to head and end up in a price battle with the big guys. So we need to find things that are different and do things that are different in a different way. So our tequila, for example, is super ultra premium and very expensive. Our rums are 10, 15, 20, ultra premium. Yes, they're expensive, and they're, as I told you, they're matured in a very different way. We want to do things that are different, and I believe that's exactly what we've done.
Okay. And so how are they accepted in Mexico? Are your sales sort of more focused on internationally outside of Mexico?
Yes, yes. Okay. We export to about 35 countries. We don't distribute in Mexico. It's not a terribly interesting market for us.
Okay.
It tends to be very, very price orientated. It's a difficult economy. The first question is what's the price. The second question is what's the terms of credits. Well, that's not our kind of customer, not our kind of market.
Right.
I'm not denigrating it. Of course not. It's a big
different market, yeah.
But it's a different, not our type of business.
Okay.
We're looking for the small player who wants something exquisite and different, and that's exactly what we've got with Blooming Gems.
Right.
They're not looking for the big volumes, they're not looking for the cheapest, quite the opposite. Well, that's exactly where we fit in.
And so this is your first footsteps into France, is that correct?
Surprisingly, we've been going since 1984. As I said, we sell to 35 countries, and it's taken us over 30 years to export to our local neighbour, France.
Well, welcome.
And just at the moment, the British is, for better or for worse, Brexiting. So.
Yes.
But that's another story.
We won't talk politics here. So do you have some idea? Have you talked to Pierre about what the strategy is here? Do you know where the listeners, basically, I would like to know where the listeners can go and taste your rum, should they wish to. Do we know yet?
It's come over. The first shipment has come over this week.
Okay.
So it doesn't get any more fresh and virginal than that.
All right.
So you'd have to talk to Pierre to find out where he's going to be selling it. But my understanding is he's primarily bars.
All right. Well, for the listeners, I will keep you posted in the show notes and keep you updated on the social media when we know more about where you can actually taste this. Dale, thank you very much for taking a few minutes to speak to me. I wish you lots of luck in France, and enjoy your time at Rumfest.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Another place that you don't normally associate with rum is Laos. This year at Rumfest, I stopped by the Laudi rum stand and I talked to Kiyomi Inaku, who's a young business student who recently joined the Laudi team to assist as part of her studies. This is what she had to tell me about this new rum brand.
So I'm here with Kiyomi, and yes. We have just tasted a rum from Laos. Uh-huh. So yes. Kiyomi, I'm going to ask you, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your rum.
Mm-hmm. So Laudi established in 2006. So first, so we want to make working for Laotian. Laos don't have not too much industries, so that's why we want to make for them to make working in confidence. And so now, so we have 15 to 20 people. We have workers, and every day, so bottles and manage our own sugarcane farm. We have about 20 hectares sugarcane farm.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So we make a pure sugarcane juice.
Okay.
Pure sugarcane juice. The first step is we harvested sugarcane and bring to the directly factory and squeeze and came up to the fresh sugarcane juice and next to the fermentation. Mm-hmm. Fermentation need to take 3 to 4 days. And finally, the distill. We have a vacuum single still. Our rum don't get the burning smell. We can keep the real sugarcane smell and taste.
Okay.
And white one is 3 years aging, and brown one is about 5 years aging.
The white one is 3 years aging,
yes.
Did you say? So is it aged in steel tanks?
Yes, steel tank. Okay. Yes, steel tanks.
And the brown one is aged in what kind of wood?
French oak chip we use, not barrel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the style is a rum agricole?
Yes, same.
And you're not distributed yet here in France, but you're hoping to be soon, is that correct?
Yes, soon. It's going to be soon, yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
And are you distributed within Laos? Is that something that's a domestic product, or is it sold elsewhere?
Yeah, now we sell to Japan. We have a distributor in Japan, but only Japan.
Do you feel like there's a very specific quality that defines rum from Laos as opposed to rum from more traditional location?
Okay, sugarcane born in the south of Asia to India. That's why my owner distillery want to make a rum in the country of origin in sugarcane.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the sugarcane is located right there, and that's a different kind of sugarcane.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah.
Enjoy RumFest and good luck with your
search
for distribution in France.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Those of you who are already rum lovers will likely already also know about the bar here called Maria Loca. It's a bar that focuses on rum and cachaça, but what you might not know is that the man behind the bar, Michael, also has his own brand of spiced rum. Spiced rum can be a bit tricky because oftentimes it's overly sweet. It's sort of approached as this gateway rum to get young drinkers into the category. But what he's done is made a really nice spiced rum that's not too sweet, and it's really interesting. So I chatted with him for a few minutes at this year's RumFest to see what he had to say about that.
I'm Michael Landart. I'm the owner of Rum Maca, and also Maria Loca is a cocktail bar specialized in sugarcane spirits.
Can you tell us a little bit about why it's distilled in Mauritius?
So we don't want it to work with agricole rum, not because we don't like it. It's just because traditionally the spice rum used to be made with a traditional molasses rum. And we've decided by selection of white rum, the distillery we wanted to work in with. And we choose Mauritius because their juice are really aromatic. And we needed something aromatic to macerate the spices. Not a neutral spirit. We don't want it vodka rum. We wanted a good rum to making a good spirit after that.
Okay.
So can you walk me through it a little bit? The molasses is distilled in Mauritius,
yeah,
and then that distillate is shipped up to France, and then it's blended here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the molasses come from the Mauritius,
mm-hmm.
So they're growing sugar cane over there. They have like a raffinery.
Refinery.
Where they made the molasses, and they're making their rum. They distill their rum after that. So they just control everything. So it's really important for me to have the visibility of that. And they distill the rum for us. We import it to France in Cognac region. And then we're working with another distillery for making the maceration, reduction of alcohol, and bottling.
Is there any kind of a general observation that you can make about either rums coming from or the sugarcane terroir in Mauritius as opposed to more traditional locations that you might find rum coming from?
Mauritius got a terroir. It's not really popular everywhere because they are big distilleries, but they are small brands. Mm-hmm. So you have different brands that are more known, but I guess that new growth is growing year per year. You see them more and more. And you can speak about terroir because they control everything. They're making sugar. They are really big tradition of making sugar, unraffinated and unraffinated. So they have like a huge variety of sugar. They are really, really cool. It's same as cachaça, agricole rum, Barbadian or Trinidad rum. So they have their terroir and specificity, like in Japan, for example, too.
Okay. And so if listeners want to taste your rum,
yeah,
I'm assuming they can go to Maria Loca to get it.
They can get in Maria Loca. If they're from Paris, you have few spirit and wine sellers who sell the rum. Few bars, cocktail and non-cocktail bar, who sells this rum too. And we're starting to spread it around France. So now it's available in most of the region. It's not everywhere in the region, but in some like big cities in Corsica. We're going to launch the Belgian market probably soon and the Dutch one. And we want to launch different products. We don't want to stop here. We have like a limited series coming through probably in June or September. We work on aging a spice rum.
Okay.
Don't aging the rum and spice it after. Working on a spice rum.
Aging spice rum. Is there issues with aging things with sugars?
The thing is like you have sugar in wine,
mm-hmm.
You have sugar in cognac, you have sugar in most of the spirits. So as soon as you don't do a liqueur, it's not a problem. The cask we use is the sherry cask. So you have like Pedro Ximénez, that is a cépage that is really, really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a cream. So it contains sugar and the barrels contain this wine. So the rum will be a bit more sweet, but if you leave it long enough, they're gonna the sugar is gonna just like not disappear, but it's gonna be like part of it,
mm-hmm.
And the aging is gonna be I don't know how to explain it, but more it's gonna spread the aroma,
mm-hmm.
And I don't have no problem with sugar as soon as it's not like over sugared, you know. As I said, we're using fresh spices, mm-hmm. And if we do maceration of fresh spices into spirits, You come really quickly with the bitter,
okay.
And the sugar cane can help the bitterness to be more regulated and well balanced. So we don't over sugar it. We want rum. We don't want liquor.
Right. Okay. So there's just enough sugar added to keep
exactly.
That balance correct. Well, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to taste the new products.
Yeah.
And for the listeners, if you haven't been, you should get down to Maria Loca and just try all of their cocktails, not just the ones made with this particular rum.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you very much.
For our last rum from a more unusual location, I stopped by to talk to Thibaut, who works with Chalong Bay. Chalong Bay is located in Thailand. It's run by a French couple. I was there a few years ago and had the good fortune to be able to stop by the distillery. It's a small and interesting operation, and here's what he had to say about his product.
So I'm here with Thibaut from the Chalong Bay Distillery in Thailand. And hi, Thibaut. Thanks for taking a moment to speak to me about your rum.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a little bit about your rum?
So Chalong Bay was born from a story of passion of Marine Lucchini and myself about spirits and crafted products and handcrafted products. And we our idea was to bring back artisan distilling techniques from France to the origin of sugarcane, because sugarcane comes from Southeast Asia.
Okay. And for the listeners, Chalong Bay, it's a rum that's distilled in Thailand. So it's a little bit unusual for a location. Thibaut, was yours the first rum that was being made in Thailand?
Actually, not, because there are more than 700 distilleries in Thailand that are registered.
Okay.
And sugarcane is a native species from Southeast Asia.
Okay.
The first trace of distilling originates from China.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that rum was made long before in Southeast Asia, but we don't really know about it because there are no written proof about it, very little things. And they still have some rums locally made, mostly from molasses that have been there for decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
But not the way we make rum in the French Caribbean style, or like very special rums with a lot of character from the sugarcane and the identity of the products.
And was that why you decided to go with something that was more of an agricole style, because of your French connections?
Yeah, of course, the French connection get an influence, and especially because we do a lot of fruit spirit in France. My family come from south of France, where we make wine, so of course they distill some like grape-based spirits. And then, yeah, the French influence had a big impact on this decision, but also because we wanted to really bring back this specificity of flavors and complexity of Thai sugarcane and the single variety that we use that is an indigenous species.
Okay, and so I noticed that you're going beyond. Before, when I visited your distillery, there was just the white, but now you've got an aged version and you've got some infused versions. Can you tell me a little bit about the progression of your offerings?
Actually, we still have only whites.
Okay.
We don't have aged yet.
Oh, sorry. I think I heard that. Somebody told me, but I misheard.
Yeah, many people want to have an aged version. And of course, we are doing some tests, but we don't have anything ready yet. But from the original, like the pure series that we call it, which is single variety, indigenous sugarcane that we grow in a sustainable way, and like all this approach of Chalong Bay, then we distill with Armagnac steel, wood fire. We extended this one by doing a vapor infusion during the distillation process. So in the distillation still, we have the same sugarcane, same fermentation, and then we distill it, but then we added one parameter, one infusion chamber, a little bit like a Carter head, but then we distill through baskets where we put different kind of botanicals, like Thai sweet basil, kaffir lime leaves, lime peel, cinnamon, and lemongrass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put fresh ingredients like this, also sourced from local farmers, all organic, that we distill with the rum.
Okay.
So we have a vapor infusion, which is a natural flavoring of the rum. We have no additives, no sugar added, no aromas added. It's just the pure distillate that is actually a blend between these sugarcane flavors and this fermentation that is distilled, and the natural like essential oils of these botanicals.
How is it working on the local market? Is it something that's consumed locally in Thailand, or is it something that's made more for export?
Actually, Chalong Bay, we designed it to be sold pretty much anywhere, of course, but also mostly for the local market.
Oh, great.
And we didn't design a product for market. We actually designed a product. This is really the craft approach, where we are product focused, not market focused.
Okay.
And because we are very special in what we do, of course, we talk to a public of amateurs and connoisseurs that like to discover specific products with a lot of character and specificity. Now we sell about 70% of our volume in Thailand. And
that's
export
great.
Is growing, of course, because we started in Thailand, so export is taking a bigger and bigger share. And the Thai market is quite small for rum, but still is a big share of our business now.
And I know that you've been distributing here for about 3 years. Does that sound about right?
2.5 years. We started in Whiskey Live 2014.
I remember the first time I tasted it was at Whiskey Live. It just seemed like it was so
and
much longer ago.
And we launched in October.
Okay.
Yes, October 2014.
Are you distributing elsewhere besides France? Where else besides Thailand and France?
We distribute in Singapore, Australia, Hong Kong. Across Europe, we work with La Maison du Whisky as well for distribution. Mostly in France, and then we have some markets that we open in different countries around Europe, like Denmark, Sweden, Germany, the UK, Italy, Spain, Portugal. So it's developing little by little.
Very good. Well, I enjoy your product. I was just saying to somebody that I like to put it in a daiquiri at home when I have people over. So thank you very much for making a nice product.
Thank you very much. And if you like daiquiris, you must try one of the Tropical Nut series, vapor infused. in a daiquiri as well.
Well, if you wouldn't let me try it when we go back inside, I'll be happy to do that.
Let's do that.
All right, let's go. Thanks.
One of the best things about Rumfest is not just the opportunity to taste a lot of rums that you might not be able to find or you haven't had before, but it's also running into a lot of cool people on site. This year, among some of those cool people that I ran into were Rory from the Little Red Door team, Alex from Don Q, and Scotty from Dirty Dick. And here's what they had to say about some of their favorite tastes this year.
All right, Rory, tell us, what were some of your favorite tastes here at Rumfest this year?
Alex from Don Q had some lovely stuff in his back pocket, which I can't really say much about, but it was extremely rich, extremely dry. And then he mixed it with something else that was impeccable. I think Angostura number one was fantastic. However, I tried the 75% before that, so, you know, palate wasn't especially fresh. What else? The Agricole, 1705 Agricole. That was amazing. That was like super grassy in the second room. Really, really good.
I'm going to give that a try. I'm all
Please
about
do.
That.
Yeah, but it's
now,
all about Alex.
Alex, here.
Alex is back in
Tell
the house.
Us aside from the dog
Tell us about the thing you had in your back pocket,
What's
bro.
In your pocket?
There's a rocket in my pocket and it's just for you.
I know. I have to say to my listeners, I've already checked out the rocket and it was really, really good.
The rocket in which I refer to is most probably, in fact, definitely the oldest rum in the building, if not the country. Which is a single expression of our Solera rum, up to 52 years old, from the single copper column Vendome still, Vendome technology, which is an old American whiskey still from 1934. Very high esters at 60 ABV in the cask. Ah, it's a 52-year-old rum.
Yeah, listeners, I was lucky enough to taste that, so thanks, Alex.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I'm here with Scotty, one of my favorite boozy people, industry folks. So, Scotty, tell me, what did you like drinking here today?
Well, there's been a few surprises, I've got to say. I've tried the Plantation Fiji 2001. It's 61%. It's great. The new single barrel from Don Q. It's coming out in a few months. I think in September, 2007 single barrel. It's amazing. And you tried as well, their 52-year-old, I don't even know what to call it. Like,
just talked to Alex about it.
The elixir of Jesus rum, which was really great. The Solera 51. 52 years old, actually.
Yeah, very impressive stuff.
Yes.
Thank you. Always a
Merci
pleasure to see you.
Merci beaucoup, Forrest.
And just before leaving, I ran into one more cool bartender. It's Benjamin Nolf, who works at Jefferies. And here's what he had to say about his favorite tastes this year.
Hello, Benjamin. So what did you taste here that was interesting today?
I taste some Mezan, Guyana 2005. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. Also, Transcontinental by La Maison de Whisky, Jamaica, 2013. And Velier. Velier House
stuff, yeah.
With Forces, white and white overproof. It's 151 proof. Very nice as
nice.
Well.
Nice. I didn't taste that this round, but good.
And in the Bar des Nouveautés, we have a good range of Bellevue, Diamond, and Umden.
Okay.
That was pretty good too.
Thank you for sharing, and we'll see you down at Jefferies sometime soon.
At Jefferies, with pleasure.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
And now it's time for a very quick drink of the week. And this week we are going to look at the daiquiri, which is a classic choice if you're looking to explore rum. And for this week's recipe, I turned to Difford's Guide. Difford's Guide is a print book, but also an online site where you can find recipes for many, many, many cocktails. It's kind of a reference. And so I'm looking at their daiquiri number one natural recipe for this episode. It's to be served in a martini glass, and the recipe calls for 2.5 shots of white rum, 3/4 shot freshly squeezed lime juice, 1/2 shot sugar syrup, which is 2 parts sugar to 1 part water, 1/2 shot chilled water, which you can omit if the ice is wet, and 2 slices of lime peel. They indicate that bitter lime zest oils are key to the balance of this drink, so peel your lime before squeezing for juice and then add 2 slices, cut pole to pole, of lime peel with other ingredients. Then shake with ice and fine strain into a chilled glass and garnish with a lime wedge. Cheers! As always, thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you want more cocktail talk between episodes, head over to our website, 52martinis.com. Thanks as always to Sun River for the music, to Emily Dilling for editing and producing, and don't forget she has her own podcast, Perry Paysan, and all the lovely people I spoke to at Rumfest, whose names and links are in the show notes. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, there's an email link on the show notes, or you can leave them in the comments box for each episode. Until next time, cheers!